Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. And the Chiefs are heating up even more. They're 5-3. They are on a 3-game winning streak, and they just got done taking care of the Washington Commanders on Monday Night Football, a game that I was at. I had a good time out there at Arrowhead. Will be the last game I go to this year, most likely, because it's going to get colder now.
You come watch baseball?
I'm not watching baseball.
No, I was laughing because the Commanders actually played that game, had a flight delay. We're still in the plane and landed right when that game ended. So they almost got home to watch the same game that started the same time they did. I thought that was humorous.
Yeah, so going to be a good situation that the Chiefs are in right now. They are going to Buffalo this Sunday, and they're going to face the Bills, and they're going to have a great opportunity to kind of stake their claim now. Because if they win on Sunday afternoon in Buffalo, they are now going to be in the driver's seat, aside from the Colts, for the one seed in the AFC. And I think this is a very promising situation for the Chiefs.
But this 3-game stretch will tell everything. And as far as that number one seed's concerned, you beat Buffalo, then you have a bye week. And then you've got another team, you know, looking for that in the Denver Broncos, the Chiefs face. And then, oh, by the way, the next week they play the Colts. So they're going to have their opportunity to knock off teams. This 3-game stretch for the Kansas City Chiefs with this bye week mixed in is ultra important. I mean, it's a huge stretch.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, when you get to December, once you play Cowboys on Thanksgiving and get into December, it is Houston at home, it is the Chargers at home, it is the Broncos at home. Your only road games are Tennessee and the Raiders. Like, it lightens up for the Chiefs. These 3 games, incredibly important because you get a chance to play those teams sitting right in front of you, whether they're good or not, whether you think they're good or not, it doesn't matter. The Chiefs are going to get their chance to physically play them, which is all you want.
Yeah, and if you – let's say you went out in November, won all your games in November. Now you've put Buffalo into a tough spot because you got a tiebreaker over them. Then you beat the Broncos. Well, now you've got the division lead, and you got the Broncos in a real tough situation now, because now the Broncos have to try and chase you, which is not something that I think anyone believes, aside from maybe the most diehard Broncos fan, they can catch up to the Chiefs.
And that first one's in Denver, although it doesn't look like Surtain will be playing at that point. So Jahdae Barron, the rookie from Texas that I like, so she actually got a pick. He's been kind of backing up there in Denver, but he did get an interception this last game, and he'll be, of course, starting in that place. That was a good pickup by the Denver Broncos. Been the Colts at Arrowhead. But again, you make it through this month of November, Chris, and you get to December, and it is right there in front of you. Because the Broncos, guess what? They got to come back to Arrowhead.
Yeah,
Chargers, and they come back to Arrowhead. And then you have to go to Vegas. Big deal. The Chiefs own Las Vegas.
And you brought up the Colts game. Like, the Colts game, that's I think that seals the one seed.
That's
right
a monster.
There. If
it's
you
a
win,
monster.
If you win out in November, which obviously means you beat the Colts.
Yeah.
Like, you now are the favorite to get the one. You get that bye. That's really big for you because you got some older players on your team that are that would definitely love to have some rest. And you put yourself in a position to do what you did last year,
and, you know,
which
I know
is
people are, yeah.
get some rest at the end of the regular season.
Get some rest.
Get almost 3 weeks of time off for your guys.
Well, hell, the Vegas game is the last game. That's almost like a rest anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, you're in a nice position now.
Yeah.
So, it's looking nice. Obviously, again, they're 5-3. They had some issues early in the season. Started off 2-3.
Bottom line, they should have beat Jacksonville. You know what? Buffalo should have another L.
I mean,
the Ravens gave them that game. They were up 40-25.
I'll say this.
They gave it to them. If they would have taken that L, I don't know what that would happen to the Ravens season, but the Bills, they got a W right from the hands of loss in that Bills-Ravens game.
If the Chiefs played the way that they're playing right now, the first 4-5 weeks of the season, they'd be undefeated right now.
Yep.
Like, those first two games were very winnable, and they played terrible in those games.
Yeah, losing worthy, really.
Yeah. It hurt. It destroyed them. It destroyed them those first two games.
Big part of the game plan. And the Colts, will find out how good they are, Chris. I mean, you got to think about this. They have 5 of their wins, they have 2 of them against the Titans. We don't need to talk about how bad they are. They suck.
Titans are not good.
They just
fired their coach.
They got a win against the Dolphins. They got a win against the Cardinals. And they got a win against the Raiders. So, yeah, they beat the Broncos, but that was a fluke. You saw that. And, yeah, luckily they did beat the Broncos in that situation because I'd rather see the Broncos get that L. But the Broncos had a field goal. I don't know if you saw the end of that game, but it's controversial how they lost to them. But,
yeah, the penalty. They got a shot again at getting the field
Chargers,
goal. Yeah.
But, hey, the Chargers were down 3 offensive linemen in that game, and they came back, and look what happened when they came back. They pounded the Vikings.
Yeah. So right now the Chiefs right now are 7th in points for 26.8, 2nd in points allowed. They're giving up 16.4 points on the season. That's a great mark. Really impressive what they've done thus far. So I'm really liking where the Chiefs are going, and I'm really interested. This is a big test for them on Sunday. If they go out there and they win in Orchard Park, now, at this point, it seems like the inevitable is going to happen. The inevitable is Chiefs get the one seed, and then they're in control of their destiny. They get some rest. But there is some interesting roster news, and I think this obviously will – it matters right now as far as, like, a short-term thing, but it definitely highlights the long-term issues that the Chiefs have, which is that defensive tackle. The Chiefs, they brought back Mike Pinnell. Mike Pinnell requested his release from the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think that was a coincidence, especially because him and Chris Jones are really good friends. Chris Jones has been rallying for them to bring back Mike Pinnell. Pinnell asked for his release from the Bengals. They granted him his release, and, you know, he very quickly came back to the Chiefs. So he is now back on the Chiefs roster. And, you know, obviously Omar Norman Lott last week against the Raiders tore his ACL, done for the year. Very unfortunate situation.
Yeah, I don't think he's back if Omar's still healthy.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Derek Nottie's a last. Whether you look at the grades or not, he's like last in run-stopping grades. And you know what? Mike Pinnell's actually one of the better ones. Like, Mike Pinnell's actually having a really good year. I know it's weird because the Bengals' defense is last in the NFL. They suck. So he
immediately came onto that roster and was getting snaps. He out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's a run. He was on the practice squad at first, and then he was on the active roster. And obviously, if for any other reason, you know, I can't say, you know, it's going to 100% help the Chiefs. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know it makes one player happy because Chris Jones was.
I think it does help them because Pinnell was a good run defending nose tackle. And that was something I think the Chiefs were missing.
Yeah. Well, they were. And look who they play, Chris. Cody tweeted it out, too, the other day. But look at who they play. James Cook, 2nd in the NFL in yards.
Yep.
They play him this week. Then they have a bye week. Then they got to play Denver. Guess what? J.K. Dobbins is 3rd in the NFL.
And they might deal. There's been some rumblings that they might deal him. But R.J. Harvey, as of late, has played well for the
Broncos. R.J.'s a stud.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's the deal, Chris. And then the following week,
they play Jonathan Taylor,
who's number 1. So they play number 1, 2, and 3 as their next 3 games as far as leading rushers in the NFL. The Chiefs have been very good against the run. Guys haven't got 100 yards. And don't forget, Washington was number two in the NFL in running the football.
They didn't, they didn't do anything.
That was the one thing they could do. Like, that was their strength. That was the one thing they do.
Same thing with the Ravens.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Lions,
the
too.
Said, no Jaden Daniels? All right, Marcus. We'll let you throw the ball a little bit. We're going to stop your running game.
Yeah. Like I said, same thing with the Lions. It was the same thing. I mean, even Saquon didn't really have a great game when they played the Chiefs at Arrowhead back in September. So, yeah, there's tons of options there. There's tons of guys that they played that are good that haven't played very well against them. So, yeah, I'll say this. You know, if those teams in November, if they don't run the football very well, it's going to be really hard for them to beat the Chiefs.
Well, the good news is Jones is extremely happy about it. Not he just wasn't cutting it.
No.
Omar Norman Lott injury certainly hurts things. And honestly, had he been healthy, his snap count was increasing.
Yeah.
I don't think that move for Mike Pinnell happens. It might. I mean, again, the Chiefs are up against the cap. Second fewest cap dollars in the NFL. It's incredibly tight. Budget. This doesn't cost them draft picks, and it's something the Chiefs don't have. They're locked 1 through 5. They don't have a sixth. They may or may not have a seventh. It's conditional whether the conditions were met with Peyton Hendershot back when he was traded. We don't seem to know what those conditions were. So they might have a seventh. They may not. We'll have to see where that lies. But basically, the Chiefs don't have the draft capital unless they want to deal a four for somebody and bring in a big name. But I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know what the Chiefs still look at the defensive line, which they probably are, because I don't think the Pinnell thing is the only thing that they're going to do. And who knows, man? You see all this, the rumors now of Breece Hall and these other big names. That's fine, but you better be ready to pay him.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's the thing, is like, if they do go get a Breece Hall, which I'd be cool with. I'm a big
cool
fan of Breece Hall. Remember, I don't know if you remember this. Remember there was that guy who was texting in during when we were back when we were doing Bink at Night. He was telling us Breece Hall. Oh, man, you should see this Iowa State running back, Breece Hall.
Big Iowa State fan. But he's right. And here's the one thing about it. He's going to be a free agent, Chris. And listen, I know Pacheco's going to be gone. And assuming he's going to be gone. I
think it's a safe assumption. But, I mean, crazy things happen.
He might find a way to bring guys back.
He might be back.
So Kareem Hunt probably gone as well. So there's two salaries off your books. Now, Breece Hall would command big-time money because it'd be his – first time to get paid. So it would obviously be a lot of money. If the Chiefs said, okay, Breece Hall, you're our guy. Or if the Chiefs look at it and say, you know what, we're going to throw a third. We're going to throw one of our two fours at a running back in the draft. That could happen because you can definitely get good money, dollar money, for running backs in the NFL draft. And we'll see some more Rashard. And Andy spoke about Elijah yesterday. And it sounds like he may be getting really close to go. He's been talking about coming back from an injury and everything. Andy's talking about that. But this is, again, as a case of emergency break glass. We talk about unleashing these players later in the season, like Jet McKinnon. I have a feeling Elijah Mitchell will be active here pretty soon.
I think he'll probably be active on Sunday because I don't think Pacheco's going to play. When they said week to week, I was like, oh, he ain't playing on Sunday. So I think Elijah probably is going to suit up and he'll play on Sunday. We'll see what he does. But the interesting thing about it, you brought up Rashard Smith. I think this is the perfect opportunity for Rashard to go out and show that he can be an actual, like, starting running back.
I'm impressed with this dude, man.
He's really impressive with the ball in his hands. I want to see more from him as a running back, like a pure hand the ball off inside zone. What do you do? How's your vision? How's your patience? Do you use your blocks? I want to see that. And so I'm really interested in that part. How does he handle? And also, this is a good opportunity for him. Because the Bills are trash at stopping the run.
They can't.
They're terrible.
The Jayhawks are stopping the run.
They're like, I think they're like bottom five, maybe bottom three at stopping the run.
I think they're bottom three, yeah.
Yeah, they're terrible at stopping the run. So, like, if there was ever a time that you could go out there and have a statement game and feast on an NFL defense, this is the time to do it.
Like, they're much better in other areas of defense.
Oh, yeah. They're good. Like, I think they're the second best passing defense in the league.
But they're not good
at
running.
But they haven't played any quarterbacks.
It keeps jamming the ball down the throat, running the football. I mean, they really are as far as what they're doing. But, yeah, I mean, I understand, you know, the need for that. Rushing offense, the Bills are number one.
Yeah, they're number one. James Cook is having a year.
James Cook's having a great year. But against the run.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Was it 30th, I think? I watched like
total defense, they're not as bad.
Yeah, they're good overall.
Just rushing defense, they're... Well, at 31.
31, the Bengals, okay. Well, 30. Yeah, the Bengals
close,
are terrible.
Man.
Bengals are terrible.
I don't know. Bengals are 151.9. The Bills are 150.3. So
I mean, it's close.
It's 1.6.
It's close. And here's the thing is I expect Mahomes is going to have a good rushing game. Mahomes will have a good rushing game again. So, I mean, the Chiefs might hit that 150. I am really interested to see what Breshard does as, you know, overall as a running back.
Yeah, Buffalo's number two against the pass.
So. Yeah, yeah. So I'm really interested to see what Breshard does. And this is a good game for him. If the Chiefs can see something from Breshard to make them think he could be a starting running back in the future, saves them a draft pick. Because I don't think they make that move if Breshard balls out and shows he can be a starter.
Breshard's showing a lot. The one thing that you want to see rookies start to do with the Chiefs when they come in here is build that connection because – I don't know if – like the Noah Gray had a route, and he starts cutting it to the inside, like towards the safety, right? And Mahomes threw it, but he threw it where it should have been. Like he threw it deep, right? That's what Noah Gray should have cut a nine route. It should have been straight to the end zone. But the route was to go inside. And Mahomes still threw it to where it should have gone.
Right.
And this is the thing. When you start knowing what he wants to do, like the Kelce, like the Rice, where you have that, you know, that connection with your quarterback where you break off the route and you run something different – heck, I think Devontae Adams said it best. He was on with the Manning cast this week. He goes, man, the Chiefs.
They just run plays. He doesn't even know if they run plays. They just run routes. They
yeah,
just
he goes, get I don't even know if they have a playbook.
Yeah. He's like, I don't even – he was talking about talking to one of the Chiefs receivers.
And it wasn't an insult. Yeah.
No, it was like a legitimate – like, I don't even know if they run plays. They might just snap it and just try to get
see,
open.
See, Noah was supposed to be – and that's the thing with Breshard, right? Like, you got to get on that page because guess what? When you're in the backfield as a blocker, like Kelce, when he had that big, huge gain last week, he was in the line as a blocker, and then he realized there was nobody in the flat.
Yeah, so he released out. Off of the block, yeah.
That's that instinct. You know, that instinct that, hey, Mahomes is going to find me doing it, and Mahomes did with his vision. He found him. But Breshard, if you're sitting there pass blocking and no one's there to block and you break out, that's you know what running backs do is they break out for routes. So this will all start to come more naturally for Breshard. Not that he's not doing a great job of it now. I mean, the guy, And his physicality has been far better than I thought coming out of the draft.
Yeah, he's doing a great job of breaking tackles and fighting for yardage, which I agree with you on
and
that.
And holding the football.
That's not something that I think I expected from him, being a former receiver.
How tough he is, man.
To be, and he's not like a big dude either. So for him to be able to go in and, you know, he's like, what, 5'11", 180 or something like that, 190? Yeah, I think he's 190. And for him to be breaking tackles, spinning off contact like that, like, yeah, that's toughness.
Doing
for
everything
sure.
you want from a seventh-round pick, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so this is the game right here. If he's going to be that guy, he can show it right here. And if he does, then save the Chiefs a draft
pick. It's a game to get fat on, man.
I said this before the year. I was like, he reminds me of James Cook. And if he can learn how to be a starting running back in the league as far as being efficient with his carries, having good vision, understanding his blocks, and being patient to let those blocks set up, I think he's got a future because you can see that on tape. It's just a matter of it's different when you're playing in college and you're more talented than everybody versus you go to the pros and now you have to win with your intellect, your IQ, rather than just your physical attributes. So this is the test for Burchard right here. And, you know, it's not the if he fails, he's done. There's no chance he could be the starting running back. But if you're going to have a breakout, this is the game to do it. And this is the game to show that you're that guy. So I think that's
the official roster weight is 194. That was on his, like, secondary thing. But as far as chief secondary player roster. But they probably bulked him up to at least
maybe
195.
Yeah, like I said, he was like 190 coming out of SMU. So, like, he's in that range. And I did expect him to bulk up a little bit.
But they don't want to take that speed off. But
right. Yeah, you don't want him to add too much. Cause
Chiefs have him at 196.
Yeah, so he's like about Jamal Charles size.
On their official.
Yeah, so about Jamal Charles. Jamal Charles is like 190, between 190 and 200. Sometimes he was a little bit over 205 or something, but like right in that range. So like I said, I'm really interested to see what happens here, and I'll definitely be looking out for number 24 on Sunday when they play the Bills. One last thing. I read an article on The Athletic. Jesse Newell wrote this piece on him. On Patrick Mahomes and about how he's really kind of changed his approach this year, which you've seen, watching the games and whatnot, watching the film. He is so different now in that, one, he's trusting his guys down the field more, which obviously, you know, that was, he tried to force it early last year, didn't really quite work out. But now he's being more aggressive at throwing the ball down the field. But the biggest thing, though, that he did, like, last year, he was generally a first read guy. Last two seasons, generally a first read guy. He's going to be looking to try to get the ball out quick because he didn't trust his O-line. And they had to script a lot of, like, short plays. His average depth of target last year was the lowest of his career. You look at him this year, the average depth of target is flying up, and you're seeing him do things he was doing during that first stint. Like in the Washington game, he's running around the pocket, getting, you know, maneuvering around the pass rush, buying time. And then he finds someone open. They find that they sit in that dead spot in the zone. He hits him, you know, on the run. He hits him in the pocket, stepping around the pass rush. Like, it looks, he looks a lot less decisive as far as getting the ball out of his hands quick. And he's now being more patient and scanning the field more. And it's funny, like, I don't know if you saw, but there was a graphic that came out, I think it was yesterday or the other day, that talked about, like, quarterbacks and their EPA per play on first read versus non-first read plays. And on first read plays, it was like Jordan Love was, like the top guy in the league. But then on non-first read plays, Patrick Mahomes was, like, widely better than everyone else.
Yeah, I thought ESPN did a good graphic showing his field vision.
Yeah.
When they were showing, like, what he's always looking downfield. Like, that's what I always tell quarterbacks in high school, you know, keep your eyes downfield.
Right.
Something's going to open. Don't sit there and look at your feet. Don't look at the line. Look downfield. And that's exactly what he's doing. Listen, the Chiefs are second in the NFL in points per drive. They average a lot. And I've brought up, and we'll talk about it a little bit tonight.
And, like, the last 5 weeks, they've been, like, the best offense in the league in points
per drive. Well, they have been. And I think a big byproduct is that fourth down defense. Chris, I averaged out every year that Mahomes has been quarterback what the defense has been at. And on fourth down, they've been at 66%, 64%, 50%. Basically, it's a coin flip. Like, you know how frustrating it was teams getting first downs on the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
This year they lead the NFL 25%. That is the average is 57% all the years Mahomes has been a starter. They're down to 25% as far as fourth down. You know what that does? That puts him back on the field. Like, that puts him back on the field in good field position. So he's taking advantage of that. And the quick routes, too. You know, where he's just throwing it really quickly. And the defense didn't have time to adjust. And he's like, boom. Like that ball, Breshard Smith, boom, that ball's out. You know, real quick as soon as he snaps it. So he's keeping the defense guessing. It's also his smarts, too. When he come in the line, he guessed the cover zero right there against Washington. He's like, they're in cover zero, cover zero. Washington had the audible out of it.
Yeah, they did. I saw it. That. I was watching it. I was like, oh, that's cover zero.
Pre-snap,
I was like, that's cover zero. And then I saw them check out of it when Mahomes identified. I was like, oh, man, yeah, they checked out of that real quick.
He'd be a great announcer.
Yeah, no, I saw that. When I saw that, I was dying.
I think coaching be tough just because it comes so easy to him. But yeah. Being an announcer – he'd be like Tony Romo times 10 up there guessing what things are going to do.
Oh, yeah. It was that part was really funny. And, you know, watching them and, they did give a zero look. And then when he pointed it out, they switched real quick. That was hilarious to watch. So let's get to our Week 9 recap.
Oh, and by the way, Jesse Newell, speaking of him, he had a great tweet the other day. Player A and Player B. And he was showing, you know, who was Player A and B. It was Hutchinson and Karloftis.
Yeah.
Because they came out of the same draft in 22.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like two of the categories, Karloftis is actually better.
Right.
And keep in mind, the most sacks that Aiden's ever had in a season is 11 and a half.
Yep.
The most Karloftis
and 10 and a half, right? Yeah.
But he makes $22 million compared to his 44.5. So Karloftis makes half the money. Again, this is how you do things. You draft players, you don't pay them as much, and you get the production. Because I know Aiden's a better player, but you're not getting a double the salary guy between Aiden and Karloftis.
No, he's definitely not double the salary, but he is a lot better player than Karloftis, but he's not twice the player.
But you're not getting twice the player. And then, you know, the whole thing. Well, I had someone on the text line, well, what about the defense is better with Chris Jones? So I said, yeah, but I said Detroit's fifth in sacks in the NFL as well. So let's not forget, it's just not him.
Yeah, it's not just him. He's got other guys there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the thing is Karloftis generates a lot of pressure. They play really good coverage on the back end.
He just doesn't bring you down. He had a chance to bring Mariota down. Completely missed him. And it's like, dude, Karloftis honestly could probably have 4 to 5 more sacks.
If Karloftis had 33-inch arms or 34-inch arms, he would be double digits every year.
Because, dude, he's so close, man.
Yeah.
He's right there.
He's always close. That's
right
the thing
there.
About him.
But at least he's pressuring.
Yeah, he's generated pressure, and that's good.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why he works in the Spag system. The short arms hurt him. That's the biggest thing. The short arms hurt him a lot as far as getting to the quarterback, but he does generate a lot of pressure.
His motor's legit.
And, yeah, that was the big thing for him coming out of Purdue was his motor. So, but, yeah, getting to our Week 9 recap, starting off with the Sunflower Showdown here. K-State, KU, this was an ass beaten by the Wildcats. They destroyed KU. It was funny. I was talking to some KU fans, and they were like, oh, this might be the year we beat. I was like, no, it's not.
You realize, Chris, it was 17 straight. You realize that freshmen – I was thinking about this during the game. Freshmen at KU have never seen them beat K-State.
Yeah.
Because they weren't even born.
Yeah.
And seniors at KU were 3 years old and 4 years old the last time KU beat K-State. They have no – like, these people at Kansas have no recollection of ever
many,
beating
Many
rival.
Of them probably have never seen KU beat K-State.
It's crazy.
Even if they were old enough to watch it, because many – like, there's a lot of kids that don't watch
KU
football.
KU gets off that hot start, and then boom. Yeah, but anyway, regardless.
So, but yeah, Jace Brown, your guy, wide receiver for K-State. 4 catches, 160 yards, and a touchdown. He was balling out in this game against KU.
He creates so much separation. And here's the deal. A lot of charts in the NFL draft charts, like, he's not listed as one of the top receivers.
Well, because I don't think he is. I think he's a good, like, mid-round
guy.
But
he deserves to be in the middle, though. I mean, he deserves to be considered, you know, fourth and fifth round.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with that.
You don't see it as much. Now, you will now. Guys are starting to climb. Like, Mendoza's starting to climb.
Well, the reason why you don't see it is because we don't know what the fourth or fifth round is going to look like.
Yeah, but I've seen it before with Texas tight ends. We've talked about that. But regardless, Jace Brown deserves to be kind of not the upper echelon, but he deserves to be in the middle.
I think when we get into the pre-draft process, you'll hear more about him. But right now, yeah, you're not going to hear a lot of hype for a guy who's probably a fourth, fifth rounder.
I mean, could he be a Torrey Horton? Somebody? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely could. Indiana, UCLA, this was another ass-beating, worst one, though. Indiana went 56-6. And, Fernando Mendoza, your guy. 168 yards, so not great yardage total.
Numbers weren't that great in college football,
but yeah,
he didn't need to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like the numbers aren't. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I was like, you're not seeing crazy numbers in college football overall, but still really efficient. Three touchdowns. He did have a pick too, so you know he had to deal with that. But I saw some really good throws from him, like that last touchdown throw he threw, or he rolled out to his right and then hit EJ Williams Jr. Down the field on a deep throw like that. He was running in and he cut it back up the field. It was great instincts by EJ and a really nice throw.
What do you think
Mendoza.
Of his wide receivers? Because I think three of them are draftable, and Surratt, Williams, and Cooper.
Yeah, I think they're all draftable.
And the one thing is, like, Surratt usually has the best game, right?
Right.
EJ Williams.
EJ balled out this week.
But EJ's got the 6'4 size. Like, yeah. EJ's got the size. And or if it's not Surratt, it's been Omar Cooper, you know, having the big game for Indiana. But this one for E.J. Williams really shined. I thought this was a really good game for E.J. Williams because, again, I think Surratt's probably the highest drafted one, possibly in the second round for Indiana.
Yeah, I can
but
see
I
that.
Definitely think E.J. and Omar Cooper are mid-round selections.
I agree with you on that. And right now I would probably, like, from the looks of it, I think it'd be – I don't know if Mendoza's going to be a great pro quarterback, but I think from the size profile and from the athleticism that he has, I can see him going top five. I can see somebody, especially if he looks good in the pre-draft process. If he goes Senior Bowl and he throws there, I would advise him to do that because I think that that's a great way for him to solidify a top five selection for himself.
The draft the guys who really review the draft early started to talk about Mendoza climbing.
Yeah.
Even so much as calling him possibly the best quarterback coming out of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point now, I mean,
because who else is there? It's been a bunch.
That's my thing. It's like everybody's falling apart. Aller's hurt. Arch is not good enough to play in the NFL right now. Yeah. So, I mean, at this point now, it's kind of like process of elimination. And I think you do see the talent with Mendoza.
The thing is going out to Oregon and winning and then just the hammerjacking Illinois like they did. Then I mean, UCLA, I mean, listen, it's not a great team. They had won
not
three in a row.
And you know, it's funny now.
They're better than 56-6.
Now they're showing their coach because they've been getting killed the last couple weeks. So now they're showing the coach now. They're not showing Rick Neuheisel's kid anymore.
I told you the first week. I was like, why are you showing Tim Skipper, man? He's the first
I get it. I get it because the interim coach is not an interesting story.
But everybody thought Neuheisel was the coach. I was like, no, Tim Skipper
No. But it's I understand why.
Give him some run in the ESPN with the stories on them regardless. But anyway, UCLA is not a good football team, but they're better than 56-6, but it shows you how good Indiana is and how solid they are playing.
A&M, Texas A&M, number 3 in the nation, took on number 20 LSU. This was Brian Kelly's last game as a head coach for the Tigers there. Big standout for me, Casey Conception. Man, this dude.
He only had
45 receiving yards, but he did have a 79-yard punt return in this game for a touchdown. And he also had a receiving touchdown in this game. If
he's late first, early second.
I think he's probably a second or third round pick to me. I don't know if he's quite a first round pick.
He could climb up there though.
Maybe. But he's not producing at the level that the guys who are going to be in the first round are producing.
I think he'd be a early second.
I think probably like mid half, I think mid second to mid third.
Yeah, halfway
but
down.
I love Casey Conception.
Yeah.
I do. I think he, like, if the Chiefs were to get him, if he were sitting there and the Chiefs could get
Marcel
him,
Reed, who's really starting to climb charts, too. And I've been saying, man, keep an eye on this kid. This kid is the reason why there ain't no. This kid's a good quarterback.
I think he's a good college quarterback. I'm still apprehensive about him as a pro.
More time.
I think he's apprehensive as a pro.
Put him on that list, though, because, I mean, he is draft eligible.
Yeah.
But I think he goes back, to be honest with you. But
me too.
Keep an eye on him for the future because I think there could be something there with Marcel.
I want to see – I think he's a great runner. I haven't seen it as a passer to where, like, that's an NFL quarterback.
Well,
he's an incredible runner.
Concepcion pretty good.
Oh, he dude. And, well, this thing, though, is Concepcion is an incredibly talented wide receiver.
Oh, by the way, your guy Trey Dez, I know he's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore, dude. No more. I know what you're saying, though. And every time I watch LSU, I'm like, man, I wish he was eligible.
Did you see what Dez just did?
Yeah, I was like, man, I wish he was eligible, man.
He did it again. Even though he lost, who cares? He's good.
No, I love Trey Dez Green, and we're going to save that talk for next year.
Did he ever get on a little spinning thing with Brian Kelly where he's pointing at him?
I hope not. If I were a player, I would have been like, bro, get off of here. This is me. Not
you know, they had somebody that did that, and like the next day committed to Alabama.
Yeah, I saw it. I thought it was, dude, it was so cringe. Dude, his whole time at LSU was cringe. Between that meme showing him pissed off when they got their heads caved in by Florida State last year. And then obviously there was the him having that fake Southern accent in the introductory press conference. Family. I was like, bro, what are you doing?
I just wonder what his buyout, the language looks like, because it's a mess, to be honest with you. And could I see him end up in another college program?
Oh, yeah.
His job openings, 100%.
100%, yeah.
I don't know if he can get paid. Like, if he can still get his buyout and do it, he'll do it, I think.
There'll probably it'll be like a Les Miles type hiring, where it'll be a lesser school that is like, hey, we could, if he's willing to come here, let's bring him in here and just pay him whatever.
Somebody like Kansas or Kansas State if they move on. If they can't get Colin Klein at Kansas State.
I don't think Kansas will do that again because they already did that with Les Miles.
I hope not.
I don't think they would. But, you know.
But they want to finish building
that stadium. And I don't think K-State would either, because I just don't think that would be.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Worth the investment. So oh,
it's gonna cost you.
Yeah, and I don't think K-State has money like that.
But I don't know what the buyout's like. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he's still going to get the $53 million.
Oh, he's getting his money.
But I don't know what the stipulations are. Like, I know Jimbo can still do media, so he's doing ACC
it might
network.
Be I mean it could be a situation similar to like James Franklin, where he has to try to find another job and they just pay him the difference.
Nobody got that 76 mil like Jimbo.
Oh, there's Jimbo. He got one over on A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, South Carolina, number 4 in the nation for Bama. They win 29-22. Not the prettiest game overall, but competitive throughout. Ty Simpson, 253 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also lost a fumble in the game. Jeremy Bernard came in clutch late in that game. 54 receiving yards and a touchdown. He also had a 2-point conversion for the Tide.
He's looking more and more like a first rounder.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a first rounder, but second day for sure. And I think Jeremy Bernard looks to me like someone who could be one of those guys you get second day, and you don't. A lot of people won't really think about it because he's not one of the higher touted receivers. But I think he could be a very productive number two wide receiver.
Ty Simpson's stock's going up. I thought Lenore Sellers had one of his better games, even though it was 220 yards.
Yeah, I thought he
was. But rushing the ball, he did very well.
Yeah, right? 67 rushing yards and a touchdown, 222 passing, a touchdown and a pick. Not his best game, but certainly one of his better ones. I mean, this is, you know, we've talked about this all season. You know, should he stay? Should he go?
Look at this quarterback class, man.
I mean, he could definitely be a top 15 pick at least. I think he'll be a first round pick if he gets drafted, unless he completely falls apart the next month or so.
This might be the year for him to do it.
Yeah, I mean, because next year is going to be tough, because I think there's going to be a lot of good quarterbacks out there. So, I would probably lean toward he should probably go. Nick Harbor, 54 yards and a touchdown on one reception. He's going to be a guy that day three you're going to hear a lot about. If he goes, he might come back.
Yep.
If he goes, he's going to be a guy you hear. I think I agree with that. I think that Harper's going to be a guy. To be honest, he should transfer. I don't think he should go back to South Carolina. He needs to be in a better offensive situation. I don't like South Carolina's offense. Man, if he could get the right coaching, I think he could be great at this game. I really do. He's got the physical attributes. If he could just get the right coaching, man, everything's out there. He just needs the right person to put him in the right position. Ole Miss, Oklahoma, 8-13 matchup. Ole Miss won 34-26 in Norman. This was a tough matchup here too. Oklahoma came back from down decent size. I think it was a couple scores. Came back and Ole Miss was able to hold them off and win this game down in Norman. Trinidad Chambliss, 315 yards, two touchdowns, also at 53 rushing as well. He's definitely starting to really kind of work his way up.
The one thing I liked about him, he's going against the number one defense in college football. I mean, to throw for 315, you're not throwing it against any other school. It's against number one defense in the country, right? So I think that really impresses me how good Chambliss did against the best. Because you always want to see what guys can do on the road against the best. He passed that test.
John Mateer, potential first round pick at quarterback. He is he had 223 yards and a touchdown in this game. Isaiah Satania, 131 yards and a touchdown, also lost a fumble in the game. I really like what Isaiah Satania is putting out there. That's another day two receiver I really like. Quarterback wise, I can see both these guys. Like, I can see Chambliss potentially going early day two, maybe late day one.
Which is crazy for him because he wasn't even on the radar.
No, not at all. No one was talking about him.
Probably has the biggest rise of anybody.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to see more what he does. If he can go out and have a really good playoff, if they make the playoff this year, Chambliss will be a guy that people talk about a lot. He's going to be a great story, I think. Tennessee, Kentucky. Tennessee, 56-34 over the Wildcats. Chris Brazel, 138 yards and a touchdown. And then you have Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan, 31-20. Justice Haynes, the running back for the Wolverines, 152 yards and two touchdowns.
His draft stock's going to be through the roof.
Yeah. So, overall, good day for college football overall. And I'm really interested to see what we get from the rest of these top prospects here, because now we're getting into the final month of the regular season here before we get to championship weekend, and this is the time now where we get some of the biggest rivalries, and this is going to be a time where like teams got to really buckle down and put their best performances out there. And that means a lot of great tape, especially in like the SEC and the Big Ten. So
three top 10 matchups regarding both teams being ranked. It's not the greatest of slates of college football, but I do like it because everything's kind of spread out.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, like, it's not, I mean, there's still multi-TV vision and stuff, but they've spread them out to where even that, one of the better games, I think, of the night is Utah and Cincinnati, but that's not until 9:15.
Right. So let's get to our moneymakers here, starting with my first one. I'm going to go with Mississippi State wide receiver Brennan Thompson. He's had an incredible season thus far. This past week against Texas, 76 yards on six receptions, two touchdowns. On the season, though, he has 603 yards, six touchdowns on the year. That's a good stat line for a wide receiver in general in college, but you still got a month to go. If he really goes on a heater here, you could be talking about a 1,000-yard receiver, And I'm really impressed by him. It's a guy I talked about after week one, I believe, because I said that he is very Tyreek Hill-like in terms of his size, his skill set. He might be the fastest guy in the country. And, you know, if there was a guy at wide receiver and they don't get Concepcion from A&M, Brandon Thompson is the guy I want them to take if they get an opportunity to take him in the draft.
They blew it, too.
I mean, yeah.
But he's shining because of Kevin Coleman leaving. I mean, that helped him kind of shine is what he's doing. But Mississippi State, man, is quietly a pretty good team.
Yeah, they are. Who is your first money maker?
What'd you have? Thompson, 6 for 76 in that game?
Yeah, 2 touchdowns, 603 on the year, 6 touchdowns.
My first is Jace Brown, Kansas State wide receiver. 4 for 160 and a touchdown. The long in that was 78 yards because he showed that separation and speed.
I mean, he averaged 40 yards a catch.
Yeah, and I see a guy really starting to climb the charts. I mean, Jace Brown's been that guy. We saw it early on this season where he was a stud. We saw him really not use him up because he's kind of banged up a little bit. But this is one of his games to go shine.
For my second moneymaker, I've got Arkansas edge rusher Quincy Rhodes. 2 sacks against Auburn this past weekend. He's got 7 sacks on the year. This is a guy I'm seeing rise up a lot of boards as an edge rusher and could be a day two guy. And I wouldn't be shocked if he's a late day one guy.
He's the guy that came at the very end of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That's when teams are more reticent to go grab a edge at the end of the first round. We used to not see this.
Right.
But then we saw with Watt, we saw with Karloftis, we started to see more and more edge rushers come at the end of the first round. My second moneymaker is Trinidad Chambliss, 24 of 44, the 1 touchdown, 315 yards, ran for 53. But it was against Oklahoma, who had the number one defense in the country at the time. But because of the performance by Ole Miss, they're now 5th. So they went from 1 to 5. And I always look at who you played. I think that's important, like the level of competition you played, and being at a road game and, you know, beating a good football team in Oklahoma. So Trinidad Chambliss, to me, is starting to turn some heads. And not only that, but the Heisman odds as well. He's starting to really climb in those. Pretty good for a guy that was at Ferris State last year who played in front of, 5,000 people a game.
Yeah.
You know, playing in front of 80, 90,000 people. But anyway, what he did against a good defense can't be ignored.
So let's get to our Week 10 watch list, starting with the Saturday morning slate. Penn State, Ohio State. Not as great of a matchup for Penn State overall. They're not playing that well right now. They lost their quarterback, Drew Aller, for the year. But their running back duo, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, got to watch them for sure. Then Dennis Sutton, the edge rusher. Zane Durant, I like him as a defensive tackle as well. Penn State still got some talent. Ohio State, Carnell Tate, wide receiver, could be a first-round pick. I think he will be. And then you've got Kenyatta Jackson, Bo Atkinson at the edge rush spots, Max Clair tight end, maybe the best tight end. Some people think he's the best tight end in this class. We'll see. Sonny Styles, linebacker, Caleb Downs, the safety. Really good lineup there for the Buckeyes. Number 9, Vandy. Number 20, Texas. You've got tight end Eli Stowers for Vandy.
Yeah, he's a good one.
He's a really, really good tight end there. And not like the greatest tight end class, but still good tight end there.
Yeah, but him and Max Clair from Ohio State up there and injuries.
Yeah, injuries for Texas. We'll keep the watch on Arch Manning just in case something changes, but I don't think it's going to change. And then edge rusher Trey Moore, Anthony Hill Jr., linebacker. The last one for the morning, Miami taking on SMU. Carson Beck did not have a good game last week. The week before last. He had 4 picks in that game. But still want to watch him. You got Francis Maui-Goa, the right tackle for the Hurricanes, and then edge rusher Reuben Bain Jr. Saturday afternoon, you want to watch Indiana, number 2 in the nation, taking on Maryland. Fernando Mendoza and Elijah Surratt. EJ Mitchell, yeah. So, you know, good trio receivers there. Obviously, Fernando Mendoza. Georgia.
Williams. Yeah. 6'3", 6'4", in that area, but a great receiver.
Georgia and Florida. You're going to watch Gunnar Stockton for sure because, you know, because this class isn't great, maybe he plays his way up. Zachariah Branch, the wide receiver. Oscar Delp, tight end. And Kristen Miller, defensive tackle for Florida. Defensive tackle Caleb Banks, really like him. Edge rusher Tyreek Sapp. Mississippi State takes on Arkansas. Two guys you want to watch out for. Both guys were my guys were moneymakers. Brennan Thompson, the wide receiver for the Bulldogs. Quincy Rhodes, the edge rusher for the Razorbacks. Then primetime. You've got South Carolina Ole Miss, Lenora Sellers, Nick Harbor for the Gamecocks. Trinidad Chambliss, Dejon Stribling, and Xavier Harris for Ole Miss. Oklahoma, this is an 18-14 matchup with Tennessee. You got John Mateer. You got Isaiah Satania. You got Deion Burks, both of those guys wide receivers, and then R. Mason Thomas, the edge rusher. For Tennessee, you've got Chris Brazel, and you've got Jonathan Joseph. Brazel, wide receiver. Jonathan Joseph.
Could be a first-rounder.
Edge rusher. Well, say that again?
Could be a first-rounder.
Yeah, could be a first-rounder, yeah. And then finally, the last primetime matchup is going to be USC, Nebraska. Jordan Maiava is going to be a guy you want to watch out for USC. Mekhi Lemon is going to be, I mean, like I said, I've said this before many times, my favorite receiver from this draft class, but I think this is a much better receiver class than people anticipate. And then on Nebraska side, running back Emmett Johnson, who is having a hell of a year this year, and then finally wide receiver Dane Key. So that's it for our Week 10 watch list. Make sure you download, subscribe, like, make sure you tell all your friends about us as well. We appreciate the support from you guys. You guys are the reason we're able to pull this off, so we really appreciate the help you guys give us by listening to us and telling people about it and sharing. So we hope that you guys continue to do that. Next week, Chiefs are going to be on. We're going to be going into the bye week for the Chiefs, so we'll react to the Buffalo game, and we'll also give you some thoughts on the rookie class for the Chiefs from this year as we get into the bye week. So make sure you tune in next week. We'll obviously have the watch list. We'll obviously have the best performances from Week 10 of college football. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. This has been the Character Concerns Podcast. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.